Thank you, Jonathan. Good morning, everyone. I have the pleasure first, before we get into the scholarship presentations, I have the pleasure of introducing our guest speaker this morning. Michael Gardner is a native Iowan. As a journalist, he has been the page one editor of the Wall Street Journal, editor and president of the Des Moines Register, editor of the Louisville Courier Journal, the general news executive of USA Today, and the president of NBC News. In 1997, he won the Pulitzer Prize for editorial writing at the Ames Tribune, where he was the editor and co-owner of that newspaper. As a public servant, he has served 7 years on the Board of Regents, including 3 years as president, and 5 years as a chairman of Vision Iowa, the program that leveraged $300 million of state money into a $2 billion pot for infrastructure, which changed the face of the state of, and in particular, downtown Des Moines. As a businessman, he is the majority owner of the Iowa Cubs baseball team and is a partner with Hansen Companies in several downtown projects. He is the minority owner of Big Green Umbrella, which, among other things, publishes City View. Also, if you guys ever read City View, he is the one who writes the Civic Skinny. So, he is an attorney, a husband of one, a father of three, and a grandfather of three, soon to be four. His bio, his stories, and his legacies could fill a book, so this introduction seems humble. But Michael did write the intro himself, and he's a humble guy. So please help me welcome Michael Gardner.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everybody. First of all, congratulations to Sean and Asa and Taylor and Carlin and Samantha and Hunter and Emily and Allison and Adelisa. What a great honor for all of you, and what great opportunities these scholarships provide. So thanks to the Breakfast Club for providing them all these years. I think they have made a difference. Over the years, the Breakfast Club and others have done spectacular work in fighting for the causes that the nine of you, and this morning I'm just talking to the nine of you. You other folks can listen if you want, but you can keep your cell phones on or whatever else you want to do. For helping to reduce homophobia in this state and for working to educate people about LGBT issues. So, first of all, keep up the good work. I won't talk long this morning, but before I start, I should remind you there's a baseball game at 7:05 and good seats are still available. I just want to tell the nine of you that you're continuing a long and spectacular tradition in this state. When Iowa became a state in 1846, three state senators were charged with the task of coming up with a motto for the new state. 2 months later, the first Iowa state legislature adopted the motto, "Our liberties we prize and our rights we will maintain." This was an unusual motto then, and it's an unusual motto now. Most mottos are either boastful or bland. Minnesota's is the Star of the North. Michigan's is, if you seek a pleasant peninsula, look about you. And the state of Washington's is by and by, whatever that means. Iowa's is the only motto that speaks of liberties and rights. A motto that, in effect, embraces the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution, as well as the great freedoms guaranteed in the Iowa Constitution. It's a motto that has endured and guided us for 167 years, and it's a motto that you have helped strengthen. So if that doesn't make you proud to be an Iowan, let me tell you a few other bits of history that should make you proud to be an Iowan, and not just proud during Gay Pride Week or during the 4th of July, but proud every single day of every single week of every single year. Let me start by taking you back 164 years to July 4th, 1839. 165 years. That was the day the Supreme Court of the territory met for the first time. Now, if you look into the history of state Supreme Courts across the country, and you go back to those first cases, more often than not, they're about some real estate fight or some other contract dispute. But you know that the three justices of the Supreme Court of Iowa did? They said blacks were free people. A slave named Ralph had bought his freedom from his Missouri master and moved to Iowa to work in the lead mines up around Dubuque. He couldn't keep up the payments. He had bought his freedom on the installment plan. So the master hired some bounty hunters to come and return him to Missouri. They found Ralph up near Dubuque, and after getting the appropriate approvals from the local sheriff, they were taking him to a riverboat for the trip home. But a farmer saw them, and the writing of it that refers to it as a noble-hearted Irishman. I always thought that was redundant. But at any rate, a farmer saw them, and he went to his next-door neighbor, who was one of the three brand-new justices of the Iowa Supreme Court, and he told him about it. The judge said that would be a good case for the new Supreme Court to hear. It did, and it freed Ralph. Slavery should not, could not, and would not exist in the state of Iowa, the court said. And it's in the law books as 1-1 in the matter of Ralph, a slave. As Casey Stengel would say, you could look it up. Casey Stengel reminds me of Yogi Berra. They played baseball together, and that reminds me of a guy named Joe Garagiola, who worked for me when I was at NBC. Joe Garagiola grew up with Yogi in St. Louis. And I was having dinner with Joe one night, and I said, "Did Yogi really say all those really dumb things?" And he says, "He just called me last week." And I says, "No." He says, "Yeah, he called me last week." And he says, "Joey," he says, "I went to church last Sunday." And he says, and I said, "Well, Yogi, you're a Catholic. You're supposed to go to church on Sunday." He says, "Well, Joey," he says, "I went to Mass." And he says, "The priest got up and he read the epistle, and it was a letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians." And Joe said, "Yes." And he says, "Yogi," he says, "Joey," he says, "every time I go to Mass, it's always a letter from St. Paul to the Corinthians." And Joe said, "Yeah." And Yogi said, "Joey," he says, "didn't them Corinthians ever write back?" At any rate, in the matter of Ralph, is a nice beginning for prizing the liberties and maintaining the rights of Iowa. And then many years later, in 1851, Iowa passed a law that said no free Negro could settle in this state. Those already here could stay, the law said, but no one could move in and settle. Everyone ignored the law until the Civil War came. And Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, and slaves started being freed, and all the white establishment of Des Moines, the ones that all the streets are named after here, Polk and Crocker and those people, they began to worry that Des Moines was going to be overrun by black people. So they found a guy named Archie Webb, who was a laborer, and who had moved here from Arkansas a few years earlier, after the law was passed. And they arrested him, and they told him he had to leave the state. Well, he refused to leave, and they put him in jail. And so he sued. A young judge named John Henry Gray heard the case, which brought great publicity from around the nation. After a big trial, he ruled, "It is not hard to see that the Negro is one of the human race, but it is very difficult to see how he can enjoy the right of life, liberty, acquire, possess, and protect property, and obtain happiness and safety in the state of Iowa when the law banishes him from the state." He then ruled the law unconstitutional. That makes me proud to be an Iowan. Or how about this? In 1868, a little girl named Susan Clark went off to school in Muscatine. But the school wouldn't let her attend classes. She was black, they said, so she had to go to the black school across town. Her father, a barber, sued, and he won. The schools could no more keep out black children than they can keep out German children, or French children, or English children, the court said. Case closed. That was about 75 years before the United States Supreme Court ruled in Brown versus Board of Education, that great case that barred segregation in America's school systems. Now, doesn't that make you proud to be an Iowan? Or how how about this? In 1873, a woman, her name was Miss Coger, was on a steamship on the Mississippi, and she ordered her dinner. The woman was part black, so the captain made her eat with the staff. She sued, and the Iowa Supreme Court again ruled that in a way that prized our liberties and maintained our rights. It ruled in her favor. That was 82 years before the United States Supreme Court said Rosa Parks didn't have to sit in the back of the bus. So this is a state of heroes. Heroes like Ralph the slave and the justices who freed him, and of Susan Clark and Miss Coger, and of Judge Gray and Archie Webb. There's one hero here this morning, sitting right here, Dan Johnson, who fought and won a case in the United States Supreme Court that said school kids could wear armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War. More broadly, it said school kids had rights too, especially the right of free speech. You should be proud to be in the same room with him this morning. Or Senator Tom Harkin, who's retiring soon. He wrote the Americans with Disabilities Act. He changed the face of this nation with access ramps and push-button doors and accessible bathrooms and curb cuts and all the things that are all but invisible to able-bodied people, but that have opened up the world to the disabled. And add to that, he's the father of closed captioning, which allows us old guys to watch television and not keep having to say to our wives, "What'd he say?" But what about Judge Eliza Holdren, who ruled a few years ago that a little girl born to two married gay women is entitled to a birth certificate naming both moms, a certificate the state of Iowa refused to give despite the Barnum rule guaranteeing equal rights to gay people. The state had demanded that the mother who didn't give birth must adopt her own child. I'm especially pleased about that ruling because that mother is my daughter and that little girl is my granddaughter. In closing, I want to say a few words about the Barnum ruling. If you read it carefully, and everyone in this room, everyone in this state, should reread it at least once a year, you will see it's a lot more than about equal rights for gays. It's every bit as much about freedom of religion. I want to read you two paragraphs from Barnum, two paragraphs that are rarely quoted. Chief Justice Mark Cady wrote them. Here they are. "Religious objections to same-sex marriage are supported by thousands of years of tradition and biblical interpretation," Justice Cady wrote in the court's unanimous opinion. "Much of society rejects same-sex marriage due to sincere, deeply ingrained, even fundamental religious beliefs. But," he noted, "other equally sincere groups and people in Iowa and around the nation have strong religious views that yield the opposite conclusion." And he said, "We, of course, have constitutional mandate to protect the free exercise of religion in Iowa, which includes the freedom of religious organizations to define marriages it solemnizes as unions between a man and a woman. This mission is consistent with our task to prevent government from endorsing any religious view. State government can have no religious views, either directly or indirectly, expressed through its legislation. This proposition is the essence of the separation of church and state." So Barnum not only protects the rights of Iowans to marry whomever they choose, it protects the rights of churches to refuse to conduct those ceremonies. And that's what freedom is all about. That is, in one lovely decision, the embodiment of the motto of the state of Iowa: "Our liberties we prize, and our rights we will maintain." I hope you're proud to be Iowans. I congratulate you again, and I hope as you go through life, you will prize the liberties we have and maintain the rights we have. Thank you. I should point out, I didn't write the part of the introduction that said I was humble.
That's true. I'm pinch hitting for Jonathan, who traditionally hands off the CD of the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus to all of our speakers.
Thank you very much.
And we would be remiss if we didn't take the opportunity with Michael Gartner in front of us to have time for two questions. So if members of the audience have two questions for Mr. Gartner, we do have time for that.
Don't all speak at once.
And if we don't, I think he finished out nicely, but I didn't want to leave time if we had it. Okay.
The answer to the first question is 7:05 tonight, and the answer is... The answer to the second question is yes, good seats are still available.